Well, we have heard some good messages. Brother Rogers has just got through preaching and he's talking about the instructions of God. And really and truly, that's what my message is going to be, similar to it, concerning instructions that we receive from different ones during our lifetime. So let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11 and verse through 13. Of course, this particular portion of the Scripture is talking about it can be a young man or a young lady that has messed up their life with immorality. But that's not where I want to go from, even though that could consist part of it. But I want us to look in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, in saying, how have I hated instructions, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." I thought about, during our lifetime, who are some of them that have instructed us? And I want to look at that again. It says, verse 11, "And thou mourn at the last." You know, as we come to the end of life, every one of us has got certain things to say. And it says there, and they're going to say, "How have I hated instructions?" My oldest brother died when he was 70 years old. And whenever he died, just a few months before he died, he said he couldn't sleep at night. And I asked him, I said, "Well, Allison, when you go to bed, what are you thinking about?" He said, "Well, I'm ashamed the way I've lived. I'm ashamed the way I've treated Mom and Daddy. And I'm ashamed I've treated my own family." And I thought about this right here. Who are some of them that have instructed us from the time that we were born to the time? What are we going to be saying as we come to the end of life? And I want to think, first of all, about maybe our parents. You know, the Lord has given us our children for one reason, and the Bible says to train them up in the way they should go. But most parents are not doing that. A lot of parents are trying to raise their children up, maybe apart from the Word of God, but apart from the Word of God, they'll not be able to do that. Because the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in the book of Amos chapter 2, verse 11, the brother just got through preaching, Brother Mark, concerning a lot of folks in the jails and prison, how that a lot of them have been raised up, but they've been raised up every way but the right way. And God said in the book of Amos, "And I raised up of your sons for prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and command the prophets, saying, prophesy not." So most people are being raised up today every way but the right way. So I thought about even in our own family. There were 9 of us children, and we were not raised up in a Christian home, my wife and I. And when you're not raised up in a Christian home, you don't know what to believe in. But I'm so thankful that at the age of 72, I heard the good news, how that Christ loved me and died for me, and I was saved. But anyway, concerning parents, a man was down there in Florida in the prison. He himself said that, he said, "You know, I've been here 6 months," but he said, "After I was here about 2 months, I got saved." But he said, "My dad is a preacher, but he doesn't preach the truth." And you know, beloved, the Bible does teach that most preachers are not preaching the truth. And that's the reason we need to get our Bibles in our hands and read it for ourselves. And little by little, when we learn something, it goes to the head. And then if we're honest with ourselves and honest with God, God's going to work in our heart. The Bible still says in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are going out of the world." And beloved, how do we know whether or not someone's telling the truth or not? Only one way, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So we go by the book. We don't go by dreams, visions, feelings, and all that, but we go by the book. The Bible still says in Matthew chapter 7, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." You know, a lot of people, they know the Word of God, but they're not doing very much. And the Bible says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I tell people, beloved, the Word of God can be a dangerous book. Oh yeah, the Word of God can blind people if they're not willing to be obedient. It'd be better to go to hell that you didn't know this book than to go to hell and know what the book says. But anyway, I'm talking about the parents, beloved. But I'm so thankful that in 1963, at the age of 22, I was saved. We have two children. I've always taught our children, Rebecca and Daniel, your mother and daddy were not raised in a Christian home. Therefore, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. But you need to learn from our mistakes. But then I thought about how that whenever we are growing up, I thought about the daycare center. How that a lot of parents, they bring their children to this world. Instead of raising them up themselves, they get up early in the morning, get their clothes and everything, and then take them to a daycare center. And how that a lot of parents, a lot of those daycare centers, they're instilling their children a bunch of atheistic, evolutionist, wicked thoughts. Over there in Lubbock, Texas, over there in Lubbock, Texas, I have a niece that has a daycare center. And I try to play the dobro guitar a little bit and everything. But she told me one day, she said, "Now, we don't want to say nothing about Jesus and this and that because we have certain rules and this and this." But anyway, I was there a lot of times when the parents would come and pick up their children. And a lot of children, they think more of my little niece than they do their own parents. So, beloved, a lot of people, a lot of parents, their children are receiving instruction from their parents. But not only are the parents going to hell, but the children are going to hell. The grandchildren, they're all going to hell. But then, of course, a lot of daycare centers also are giving bad instruction to the boys and girls. But I thought about also some of our so-called teachers. I remember I went to a handicapped school way back in 1947 in Snyder, Texas. And one of my teachers she was my only teacher, but she was a Church of Christ. And we stayed in contact with her until she died and everything. But my mind just went back about certain teachers that are teaching us different things. And I thought about one of my teachers, beloved, that Mr. Thomas, we used to go to his home and drink beer and play chess way out in California back in those days when we were going to school there. But again, who are some of them that instructs us? Our parents? They may be good. And I want to say again, young folks, those of you who are saved and you have Christian parents, you ought to thank God for that. Don't take it lightly. You ought to thank God for that. And you got grandparents and everything that are Christians, you ought to thank God for that. Because a lot of us, we don't have that. We don't even know our grandparents or anything like that. But anyway, the parents are giving instructions, and daycare centers are giving instructions to boys and girls, and teachers are, and then so-called friends. You know, the beloved, the Bible still says that we need to be careful who our friends are. We need to be careful. The Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." One of my friends out in California, when I went to school out there, his name was Cleon. And people do make an impression on you. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. You may not think they do, but beloved, every one of us are influencing people either one way or the other, every one of us. But anyway, my friend Cleon, I remember him used to smoke cigarettes and how he would blow it, and then take a puff and we'd buy candy cigars and stuff like that, and I didn't until we started smoking. And then I remember when we first went out to California in 1952, and I was born in 41, 52, 11 years old. I got out there, and some of my cousins, man, they was already dipping snuff and making corn cob pipes and everything and all of that, and they taught me how to do that. I said, "Yeah, give me a little of that snuff too." Man alive, I swallowed a little of that juice, and boy, when I did, my head started going around. They could swallow that juice, and it didn't bother them a bit. But every one of us are receiving instructions, it may be from relatives. Brother Bob, somebody told me that you had an uncle that tried to get you to be a Mason. Oh, wait. Yeah. Every one of us, though, beloved, are receiving instructions from different ones. Parents, daycare center, are also, beloved, from school teachers, or it could be from friends, so-called. And I remember one of those guys out there, I was locked up the last time in jail in Monroe, Louisiana in 63, but I was 22 at that time, but I was always 2 years older than the rest of my classmates. And my mother sent me a clipping of Johnny R. Shamble. Johnny R. Shamble died when he was 20 years old. He was a punk, he was a thug, he was a rebel. But he influenced my life, beloved. He used to wear his hair, you know how you cut it back and cut it in the back, a duck tail. But I'm just saying, beloved, every one of us are influencing people. Whether we realize it or not, we are influencing people. Either towards God or away from God. And we need to remember that. But then I thought about also, beloved, over there in Dallas, Texas. I used to work in Dallas, Texas, and I quit my job in 1972. And I thought about most of my ex-employees that I worked with and everything. Most of them have died. I was preaching in Dallas, Texas the latter part of last year in September. As I left there, I stopped over in Winnsboro, Texas, to see one of my ex-bosses, and he was relating to me about different ones that have still died and everything. And he mentioned to me Joe Nagoda. Who was Joe Nagoda? He was a young man that was single. We had him in our home, my wife and I. But anyway, my boss said, did you know that he died with AIDS? I said, I didn't know that. They said, yeah, he is a sodomite. And I said, well, I really didn't know it. But I said, whenever he was in our home eating, I said, he indicated by certain little things that maybe he was leaning in that direction. And that's the reason we need to teach our boys and girls how to walk properly and everything. And shake hands like a man and not like a little sissy. Oh, I tell you what, I see some of these. I'm serious, beloved. I don't think it just starts when you're 10 years old. Oh, no. No. It don't start when you're 10 years old. But anyway, we just need to be careful, beloved, because people are influencing our lives. And we need to remember that. The parents are teaching their children, daycare, teachers, friends, and then employers. I remember whenever I first went to work and everything, and I said, yes, sir. My boss said immediately, he said, you don't have to use those kind of words around here, yes, sir. Just say, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, beloved, a lot of people, beloved, are teaching boys and girls ill manners, and we need to be careful about that. But then, of course, I thought about preachers also. I'm so thankful that in 1963, this preacher, I was preaching some years ago, and I made the statement. I said, you know, I said, Brother Lester Olof was preaching, and I said he was preaching, and Brother Bill Robinson got saved under his ministry, and then Brother Bill came to my home and knocking on the doors, and I said, after listening 2 months to the Word of God, I said, I got saved. But I was preaching in Alabama a few years ago, and I said, Brother Roloff is my, and I meant to say, spiritual grandfather. And I said, he's my grandfather. Woo! Man, if you're going to lie, you don't want to tell that kind of a lie. It don't take but a minute to check that thing out. But anyway, I was preaching tonight, and this man walked up to me, and he said, I know Brother Roloff is your grandfather. I said, he's not. He's my spiritual grandfather. He said, well, you said he's your grandfather. I said, well, if you're going to lie, you don't want to tell that kind of a lie. But anyway, the next night I got up, and I said, folks, I need to make a little restitution. I said, last night, I realized there were some folks here that wasn't here last night, vice versa. But I said, I was trying to bring out that Christ saved us to love Him and to be a reproducer and everything. And I said, Brother Roloff is my spiritual grandfather. But I'm so thankful, beloved, in 1963, this preacher was out being faithful and knocking on doors and blowing the trumpet loud and clear. And after listening 2 months to the Word of God, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I got saved. And beloved, I'm going to be honest with you. Paul the Apostle says, he said he used to be religious, but he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Boy, we've been hearing a lot about that. G-R-A-C-E, God's redemption at Christ's expense. Christ saves us for one reason, and that's to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. So, beloved, preachers. And then I'm so thankful, beloved, God's given us our preachers and everything to teach us that we might receive instruction. Brother Crumpkin was my pastor many, many years, and one of the things that he instructed us, he said, I want to encourage you. Now, he told me, he said, Brother George, he said, I want to encourage you. Don't sign that waiver for your Social Security check. He said, you keep on paying and everything. And I'm so thankful to God that I listened to him, because I'm a raking in that money today. You know what I mean. Woo! I'm a raking it in. Boy, I'm raking it in, brother. And anyway, my wife, 2 weeks ago, she signed up for her Social Security check. So we're really going to be coming in now. But I'm just saying, we need to listen to instruction. But I want to say this also, beloved. There are a lot of people, preachers, falling by the wayside today. My daughter said one day, she said, Daddy, she said, the pastor said that if you feel like it's wrong, it's wrong. But if you don't really feel like it's wrong, then it's not really wrong. I said, sweetheart, he's a liar. That's not true, baby. I said, the Bible teaches us an absolute. And I still believe that. With all of my heart, I believe that. This one preacher, I think I said it in June, but I'm going to say it again. This preacher in Georgia, he said, Brother George, he said, there's this couple in our church, oh, they love Jesus, but you know, because of the check that they get and everything, you know, it's gonna alter their checks and everything if they really get married. But what they've done, they just committed themselves that they're going to live like husband and wife. Now, beloved, polio affected my feet. It didn't affect my head. Hey, that is whoremongering around, I believe, Brother Arnold. Hey, the Bible still says marriage is honorable in all, and the dead and the fire, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So we are to thank God for preachers that are still standing in the gap, blowing the trumpet loud and clear. We're to thank God for that. It is so sad to see what we're seeing today. I'll be honest, it makes you want to cry. I'm serious. It is sad to see so many people falling by the wayside. But anyway, we're talking about preachers. And then, of course, I'm thankful to God that we have the blessed Holy Spirit that teaches us also. You know, whenever we get born again, that verse of Scripture over there, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's no better time to get with the Lord than early in the morning, before the cares and all the telephone starts ringing and all that, and just read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. I will say this, beloved, the pastor who led me to Christ in 1963, when he got up, 95% of his preaching was just quoting Scriptures. And believe it, that made an impression on my heart, man. The Bible still says, out of the depths of my heart have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Believe it, the word of God will get the job done. It'll get the job done. But anyway, I heard about salvation, how that Christ loved us. My foolish heart was black with sin and harder than a stone. I had no time for God. I said my life was all my own. But when I heard the pleading voice of heaven's holy dove, I then became as melted wax. God broke my heart with love. The heart of man is wicked, so says God's holy word. And by the power of man alone, that heart cannot be stirred. The blood of what I'm trying to say is whenever God does touch you, it'll touch. It'll be a changed life. It'll be a changed life. So, beloved, we're talking about the Holy Spirit teaching us and molding us and shaping us. The Bible still says in 1 John that He's going to teach us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But He's going to teach us also, beloved, how to get along with each other. The Bible still says in Ephesians, and grieve not the blessed Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So He's going to teach us, beloved, how to get along with each other, how to be patient. I preached a message in June here on A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A, abstain from all appearance of evil. B, be patient towards all men. C, comfort the feeble-minded. D, despise not prophesying. E, edify one another. F, follow that which is good. G, give thanks. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, we have a lot of things to praise His sweet name. Or to thank God that we're not in hell right now. I made a phone call last week to some of my cousins out in California and some of my friends that I went to school. And I told my wife, I said, they're still drinking their way to hell. Beloved, I'm going to be honest with you. When I look back and see how many, I can't think of any of them that are Christians. But God saves them for one reason. They still blow the trumpet loud and clear. You say they're not listening. The Bible says in Ezekiel 2:7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Our job is to keep on blowing the trumpet. Amen. The Word of God's a minister unto life, or it's a minister unto condemnation, and we need to remember that. I remember one day I was talking to this one man in the jail, and I said, what y'all been studying and everything? He said, well, we've been studying the book of Romans. And I said, well, what have you learned from the book of Romans? He said, well, we've learned that you're going to have to really keep the law, you know, to make it to heaven. You've got to obey the Ten Commandments. I said, is that right? And then I showed him Romans 3:19. And when I show them Scriptures, I like to observe their eyeballs and to see how they respond whenever they see it. But the Bible says in Romans 3:19, now we know that what things serve the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave us the law to shut our mouths up, so that we'd run to the cross of Calvary and say, Lord, in my hand no price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Yeah. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Amen. Revelations 1:5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach us, and He's going to teach us what? Beloved, some of these talk shows, I remember Rush Limbaugh one day, he said, well, I'm trying to find out why God put me on this earth, and he let out a cuss word and everything. He said, I think I found my notch here concerning being a radio announcer or whatever. But the Bible says in Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. God put mankind here on this earth for one reason, and that's to bring honor and glory to Him. It's to get prepared for the world to come. Is to get prepared for the world to come, because we're all going to check out of here one of these days. And what are we going to be saying? We heard a while ago, Paul the Apostle says, I'm ready. If I died right now, I would have to say, Lord, I'm thankful to God that I heard the gospel and I responded and I got saved. And by the grace of God, the best of my ability since 1972, I've been trying to serve you. But yet I'd have to say, Lord, I'm still ashamed. I'm still ashamed that I've not really been 100% what you want me to do. But I'm so thankful that Psalms 138 verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. So the Lord Jesus, beloved, He saves us for one reason, and that's to serve Him. Yes. Paul the Apostle there at Thessalonica, he says, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that's what we're doing right now. We're serving the Lord. But we're also doing what the next verse says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Hey, the wrath of God is going to fall one of these days. Over there at McDonald's yesterday, we were eating a biscuit, or a day before that, and I was talking to one of the ladies that works there, and she said, yeah, you was here a couple of months ago. I remember you and everything. And she started talking about some of these soldiers. She's talking about how she was anti-war and everything. She said, these poor soldiers getting killed over there. But I just made the statement to her. I said, yeah, but I said it is true. A lot of soldiers are getting killed. But I said, so many of these wicked devils that are against these soldiers getting killed and everything, I said, they believe in giving women the right to abort their babies. I said, that goes to show you how reprobate their minds are. A lot of people don't like it, but it's still true. Still true. The Lord saves us for one reason. And again, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. So, beloved, He says right there again, please look at it, verse 11, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instructions, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. But here's what I want. A lot of people are saying, well, I really didn't know that. I really didn't know that. So therefore it says in Proverbs 24, verse 10 through 12, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, shall not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his word? When we stand before God, beloved, a lot of people are going to start saying, well, I really didn't know. God's going to say, here's the book, though. You had no excuse. Amen. So, beloved, who are some of them? Young people, here you are young. Some of you getting ready to go to work and this and that, but I want to encourage you. There's a lot of enemies out there, and they'll do everything they can to try to get you to quit listening to your parents. They'll do everything they can to try to digress you, turn you from the right way. But I just want to encourage you. If you got a mom and daddy, grandparents that love the Lord, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to keep on praying for them. And you know why God does that? He gave you to your mom and daddy so that you yourself can be a missionary. Because the Bible says that. So you can be a preacher. So you can be an evangelist. So I just want to encourage you, beloved. Who are some of them that instruct us? We ought to thank God that we got a good bunch of preachers here that's instructing us the right way.
Brother George McDowell. We love him. Amen. I've never yet to hear him stand and preach the Word of God that I didn't enjoy it.